Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
This is a story
of the river
Dart from sea to source,
meeting the river and its people
and hearing their stories.
My name's Jack. I'm a guard on the Dartmouth Steam Railway. We travel up and down the line from Paignton to King's Weir. Once we get to Churston, we go through Greenway Tunnel and then go alongside the River Dart down towards King's Weir. We see all sorts of wildlife alongside the river. Last week it was quite rough. The ferries had to stop running between Kingsway and Dartmouth because it was so rough. And the signalman, we have a signal box alongside the river, and the signalman was saying that the waves were crashing up alongside the actual wall and then going over the signal box. So we haven't seen waves like that for quite a while. You know, it's quite bad down there. Sometimes at Bibbington, we're quite close to the sea there, we get a lot of mist and salt on the rails, and in the winter we have to put sand on the rails to make sure we can get out. It's quite slippy up there.
Looking down upon the river, it's lovely and you see it all winding round, but as soon as you actually get on the river at that point, and you're going with the flow of the river and going down its tidal pool, it's incredible, and sort of realizing you're in the middle of this great big expanse of water, especially as you get towards Dartmouth, as it opens up incredibly, and you're like, wow, this is a massive area here.
Well, to put the mid-channel buoy under the water, it's got 5-ton flotation.
Right.
Roseanne is 5-ton. And we hit this mid-channel buoy that big ships moor up to. And I just said to a good friend of mine, Ben. Bless you, Ben. We lost him now. But watch out for the mid-channel buoy. And just so I said that, we hit it. Yeah, it was... I thought we got away with it, but them lads on the ferry saw it.
Ah.
Yes, and then they told everybody else, and then I... Oh, God. It's a bit of fun.
I remember the big ships that used to come up the river.
Yeah?
The big timber ships. This was once a timber yard many years ago.
Yeah. But on the certain days that the Royal Navy Academy, or the Royal Navy... you know, ship their boats out and back in. So I saw them all the time, the big army ships, and that used to excite me quite a lot when I was younger. Out and back in, back in, 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 out and back in.
My granddad used to own a boat called Skylark, and it was moored by the castle at Dartmouth Castle. You'd climb aboard that and then go fishing out by the mouth of the river for mackerel with rod and line, and we used to get absolutely tons of the fish. And then we'd just come in back to the mooring go home back to where he lived by the lower ferry, and we'd get my gran to fry all the mackerel up, and we'd have it for dinner.
I know, fishing on the river. And,
yeah,
and
fishing. I've fished here as well. Yeah, caught many a bass here.
Many a bass?
Many a bass, you know, sea bass.
They, oh, right.
They actually come up, they come up here because it's a nursery, you know, the river is a nursery for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So I've fished, I've been on boats on it. I've not actually swam in it, though.
Yet to do that,
yet
yeah?
Yet to do that.
We were looking for a place to do a 10-kilometre race, and the woman who organises it, Kate Rue, she had organised a 10k race in the Lake District, and this was the only 10k distance I'd ever swum. And we had to move the race, and we moved it down here to amazing success. We started with 200 swimmers the first year, then 400, and now this year it's 800, and it sold out in 2 hours. And it seems to get bigger and better every year.
And but no, the most spectacular thing I ever saw was one day. It was just a day like every. I think it was particularly sunny, or at least I just remember it like that because it was just a particularly amazing memory. I woke up and went outside to see loads and loads of dolphins just jumping up the River Dart, and that was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. Ever since, but just like just a pack of dolphins, they're just jumping up the River Dart.
Seals here in the water, so yeah. That's interesting to watch them, you know, as well.
Yeah, it was really great fun, but pretty hard with all the choppy waves. Glad I done it.
But we were divers originally when we first came down here.
Oh, okay.
So we used the river then. We had an inflatable. And then we progressed onto a yacht. And as time went on, we had a bigger yacht. It was just our home, really, for the boat. And we spent all our summers on the boat and in the river. We had a mooring at Maypole. The heronry down there was always very noisy.
Yes.
But now we've got lovely memories of the river.
Yeah. You said for over 30 years you've had a boat on the river?
Yeah.
Wow.
The boatyard originated on the opposite side of the river.
Yeah.
And it moved here in 1996 to take up the old Reeves timber yard. We had a boat over the side. I didn't work for the boatyard then, but we had a boat and we used to bring it up the river once a year. When it was the timber yards, there used to be a turnaround opposite our slipway.
I've seen pictures of some of the really large boats that used to come
I've
up.
Actually seen them, they hand-turned them.
Really?
Well, yes, they put the ropes on the side, that's what the turning bay was for, to turn them around to get them to go back down river. But over the years it's silted up and there's nothing, you know, there's hardly any depth there now, but
yeah,
I've seen boats turn around in the river.
Everything's nice about the dark.
Thank you. There's no easy way of introducing this one, really. My memory of the Dart, strong memory, is the fact that my sister drowned in the Dart when she was 16 and I was 18. And she was at school, at Dartington Hall School, which was this sort of utopian vision of education set up in the 1920s by the Elmhursts and all kinds of artists, and Lucian Freud and people went there. But my sister drowned there, so that's my sort of main memory. She drowned in this part of the Dart known as Folly Pool. These days people don't seem to refer to it as Folly Pool, but this was 1984 or 1986, so it's over 30 years ago now. And the story is that she was sunbathing down by the river, because it was bohemian open school where they were allowed to do whatever they wanted. So she was having a swim and a sunbathe, and then the next thing that happened was her body was found the next morning face down, naked in the River Dart. And it was declared a mystery at the inquest. They had several detectives on the job, and none of them could solve the problem. When I moved to Totnes, purely by coincidence 30 years later, I was renting a flat for me and my daughter, and the people who rented it to us were the parents of the boy who found my sister's body.
So have you got any particular memories of the River Dart that really stand out for you?
I grew up in Totnes, which is one of the few large towns on the River Dart. I can remember coming over the old bridge on my way to school, and I knew I was getting to be a big girl when I could look over the bridge and see the river for the first time. Quite a few adventures on the foreshore and the riverbank. Long summer holidays would invariably result in jumping on a bike and cycling down Long Marsh with a gang of mates. One particular adventure that still warms my heart when I think of it was my friend Kerry. Once we'd exhausted all of our sort of normal games, found the tin bath, the family tin bath, and we walked it down the steps and found it floated quite beautifully. And using our hands as paddles, she and I paddled the whole of the way across the river, which doesn't sound very far, but it's quite a deep shipping channel on the other side of the river from the site. That's where they brought the ships up. It was a timber yard. Yeah. And she and I in this little boat having a great time until one of the people on the boat called the police, and the police came down.
"What do you think you're doing?"
he said. "We're sailing in our tin bath."
"Get here now, get out."
If we'd have capsized, I'm sure we would have been fine and swum to shore, but the tin bath would have been lost.
Do you ever meet up with her anymore? Or?
No. I think of her fondly.
I was with my friend Ali. He had got an inflatable canoe. And so we went down to Vere Island in Totnes and we blew it up. And once it was all blown up, we got in it and we were just, you know, canoeing around the River Dart next to the old bridge and next to Vere Island. And my friend was like, "Right, I want to go on what are they called? Basically the things that hold the bridge up." I can't remember what they're called. And like in the middle, they're big slabs of concrete and they basically hold the bridge up. And my friend and I rode over to it and he tried getting out of the canoe onto this stone thing. And as he got onto it, the canoe flipped over. I went underneath the water. He then fell back into the water. And when I came up, the canoe was actually over my head. And I remember going, "Oh no, I'm under the canoe," having to think, "Right, I've got to swim underneath the canoe and come out the other side, which I did. And I remember coming up and going, wow, that was kind of quite crazy, and a little bit worried, thinking, where's my friend? And he was getting back onto the canoe, and yeah, I swam over to the canoe. We both got back in, and then we went back to the side of Veer Island, got off, and we were completely soaking with no change of clothes. So we were there for a good few hours just drying out and thinking about what had just happened.
We keep our yacht here, it's stored undercover, and so obviously sort of during the winter we do all the maintenance on her, and yeah, it's a great location, sort of being by the water. And the great surprise, when the ferries come in, they almost look as if they're on the road, they're so high up. But yeah, there's plenty happening, it's interesting. Enjoyable spot to be, yeah. We keep our boat here for about 3 or 4 years in this yard here, and then we sail her up to Scotland, and then she stays up on the west coast of Scotland for about 3 or 4 years, gets wintered and maintained up there, and then we come back down here again. So the sailing here is beautiful on the south coast, and it's near to our home, but Scotland is the best sailing in Europe, so we have to go up there and just reinvigorate ourselves from time to time. So yeah, it's a nice spot, it's very good, yeah, a nice river.
This stream ends up in the dark, basically, which I kind of like, and what I spend a lot of time doing, I've had a, what they call, Gothic arched wooden bridge put over it. When I came here, there was an old door across it, and I spent a lot of time leaning on that arch. It's where I gave up smoking. I used to blow bubbles instead of smoke cigarettes. That's 10 years ago.
It's a threshold.
It is definitely a portal or a threshold.
Yes, yes.
But basically, I've got a friend who had a major operation yesterday. I texted him and said, I'll be there first thing in the morning on the bridge, sending good wishes down the stream, yes, to the dark, yes, to the ocean, and yes, the ocean gets to where you're having your operation. They'll get there somehow.
I had to come to terms with this whole thing to be able to swim in the river and enjoy it. So I did that, and you know, went to Folly Pool, went down there, one of the first things I did, and just go for a swim and commune with my sister and make my peace with the situation, which I did. And the swan is a symbol of spiritual death in the Wicca tradition. And knowing that was quite a comforting thing for me. And then since then, I've been canoeing on it with my daughter and had the most wonderful, pleasurable trips. We've been having sailing lessons at Dittisham. We've sailed down ourselves to Salcombe Harbour and to the mouth of the river. And we've walked right up to the source of the river as well on Dartmoor. And it's... one of our favourite places is the swimming hole at Staverton, a lovely community spot where young people love to swim. And I took Ruthie there, my daughter, after school every day during a couple of summers when she was young, catching minnows and swimming. And Elsie, the dog, Smelly, likes to have a swim in there too. So the River Dart, there is a saying that the River Dart claims a life every year. That's what the local people say about the River Dart. So there's the beauty of it. And the Dart, the word Dart means oak tree, as we know, in Saxon. And that's why it's called the River Dart, because it's got all these wonderful oak trees and the Sharpham Estate and these two great Bohemian spiritual estates on the river. It's a powerful river.
One of the biggest, I don't know, probably scariest moments for me, we were kayaking actually, just by the weir, and going down the weir, the nose of my kayak hit a stone, and so it winded me, because we were going down so quickly, it winded me, I turned over, it flipped my kayak over, and I ended up grating down. Thankfully I had a helmet on, but I started grating down the weir. Ended up at the bottom, and I was under the water for probably about 2 minutes or so, and I started kind of losing sense in my hands. I started feeling like I was just not going to come back up again. I tried to pull my safety cord to get back up. It wouldn't pull, and I felt, okay, maybe this is it. And I've not experienced that feeling before of being completely immersed by water, not being able to get up, and then feeling like, well, maybe I just shouldn't try anymore.
River can rise very, very quickly, and alarmingly quick. And if it can be a nice day here, Buckfordsea, Totnes can be nice and sunny. But if you had some severe rain up on the moors, then within an hour, the river level can change several feet. And in the summertime, when you're going down and you see the waters lashing over the rocks and the kingfishers are out and everything's all sweetness and light, you go down there after a severe storm and the river is just like a raging torrent. It looks like something out of the Canadian Rockies, you know. And the railway follows the river for best part of the 7 miles to Totnes. And when you look down, it's quite amazing on a nice summer's day. It's so pleasant there that some people from a local guest house usually sit on the riverbank with their sun chairs and their lemonade and stuff. And you go back in the winter time, or even after a bit of heavy rain on Dartmoor, and the patch where they're sitting is gone, long submerged. I've seen the river up high enough that it's almost touching the side of the track. And when you think, in one instance, there's a field some 500-600 yards across from the river bank, and that is completely submerged. But the weak spot of the railway, if anywhere, has got to be at Woodville. And that's where it could be its most dramatic. It's a bit like a swan, the river, because it can be raging, but it looks absolutely calm on the top of it. There's no rock, there's nothing underneath to disturb the top. So the top of the river just looks like a plate of glass. But what's like a swan? What's going on underneath the water? You dread to think.
I've actually known several people that have died in the River Dart. And there's that saying, isn't there, about every year the River Dart takes a heart. And so I've known a few people that have died, one of them accidentally and one of them on purpose. And whenever I actually walk over the river, I always think about them. No matter where I, no matter what bridge I walk over, I always just think about those two people.
Since time immemorial, with the boats carrying goods up to Totnes and making Totnes a rich place, they travel at night. So there's a lot of ghost sightings on the River Dart as a result of the natural mist and the effect of coming up, say, if you imagine if you're coming up from Dartmouth to Totnes at night with a lantern through the mist, and be able to navigate up quite capably, but nonetheless, as a sailor, stories of ghosts and, you know, wreaths, they're called. Were they called wraiths? These emanations from the mist, people's imagination.
I want to do some yodeling.
water is like glass. I remember
I woke
waking up to dolphins
and went
outside
to see
the
loads and loads of dolphins just jumping
maybe
up
I just
the river
remember it that way.
I love the River Dart.
I love the River Dart.
I think that it's, kind
I think
of
that it's central to Totnes.
And
central to often
to
where I want to be.
Often where I want to be.
Everything's nice about the River Dart.
It's beautiful here in summer.
It's beautiful here in the summer, but also nice
yeah,
in the winter.
But also nice in the winter.
Leave nature alone.
It's nice as it is.
The Dart takes a heart
my
every
message
year.
In a bottle would be, I love you.
The river is like a
it's
swan,
a bit like a swan,
all smooth and serene on the surface,
raging,
but you never know what is going on underneath.
It's absolutely calm on the top of the river. There's no rock, there's nothing underneath that disturbs
the
top.
In the bottle
so the top
is the sound of a seagull's
like a
call
glass,
and a tiny
like
grain
a
of sand,
what's going
so
on underneath
small
the water,
it's invisible.
You dread to think.
Good luck.
Message in a bottle.
A message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle. Message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle.
We have freed these messages.
To go with the flow.
Messages in bottles.
If one of the bottles finds you,
please visit our website,
dartup.wordpress.com.
Against the Tide is a Sound Art radio production for Radia, recorded and produced by Raph, Alex, Jared, Lucinda, Robert, James, Matthew and Sue. The show explores the landscape, sounds and people of the River Dart in beautiful South Devon, in the southwest of England.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.